Amen. Ain't it good to be in God's house again? Amen. What a joy it is to be able to come back to Pleasant Grove and be with you folks. I like coming to places to preach where I've preached before. I don't feel half as nervous. But every time I get right here, I get real, real nervous. And, somebody told me one time if I got to the place where I wasn't nervous, to go sit back down. But you say, why do you get nervous when you get up to preach? Well, if you had to look at what I'm looking at, you'd get nervous too. Amen. But we about to handle the precious word of God right here, and for just a short while, I'll stand before God and be accountable for what I tell you and what I say to you, and I just want to be honest with you tonight. I just want to see God do something big in this place tonight. Amen. He said in the prayer room a while ago that I can't bring revival, but I serve the one who can. Amen. And I just want to be a willing vessel for him this week, looking forward to seeing what God will do for us. Amen. In this week of revival. And I just want to see God. Man, take your Bibles with us tonight in the book of John, chapter number 5. John, chapter number 5. I prayed, and I don't know how any other preachers are, but when you preach a revival meeting, you always want that first night of revival meeting to be a good sermon, a good message, or whatever, because one or two things will happen. Folks will want to come back for more, or folks will say, well, I don't need to go back and hear no more of that junk, so we just stay at the house. So the first message is always crucial, but I've kind of got over that, and I just want to set the stage and set the tone for the rest of the week and see what God has for us. And I prayed, and very familiar passage of Scripture we're going to look at tonight, and I've preached from this text several times in the ministry, but God just wouldn't let me get away from it, and for some reason, sitting in the office today and begin to pray and just talk to the Lord, and He settled it deep in the avenues of my heart that we are getting ready to get into what we need for this very service tonight. Amen. I can't answer for Tuesday night because some of us may not be here Tuesday night. But tonight's tonight. While we're here, I'm going to be real sensitive to the Lord. John chapter 5, if you found your place there, if you're physically able, and you would you stand with us as we honor the Word of God? And I'll read real briefly and let you sit down. I'll preach my heart, and we'll go to the house. Amen. John chapter 5. Verse number 1, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, and there's waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down on a certain season into a pool and troubled the water. And whosoever, the Bible says, then first after the trouble of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity of 38 years. Verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been in that long time in that case. And he saith unto him, will thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to let me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Father, I love you and I do thank you, God, for the privilege, God, and an opportunity, Lord, you've allowed us one more time, God, to get into the precious Word of God. And I pray, Lord, tonight you'd give us liberty, Lord, one more time to stand. God, give us the clarity of mind to speak what, Lord, you want us to say. Don't let us say nothing, Lord, that you don't need us to say. I pray, God, you'd find every word a lodging place in the hearts and lives of people that we might be able to use it, Father, in the days to come. Make decision-making easy tonight for somebody. Lord, help us, God, to see our state and, God, see where we are and see, Lord, we can have some help along life's journey. Save the lost, and I pray, God, you to reclaim the backslidden and give strength and help to that child of God that needs it. We'll bless you in advance for it and say thank you for that you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to preach tonight with the help of the Lord. As I said a while ago, we read 9 verses of John chapter number 5. And it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I don't want us to let the familiarity of the passage of Scripture rob us from what God has in store for us tonight. Amen? So I begin to ponder on these verses of Scripture and begin to see what's going on in these 9 verses of Scripture. And I thought, now, Lord, a lot of preachers like to have titles for the message. And 95% of the times I ain't got cool titles like a lot of people do. I just get in there and get after it. But I begin to think about this passage of Scripture today. And God dropped a little thought in my heart. And if you have to have a title, here it is. When a miserable patient met the master physician. When a miserable patient meets the master physician. And I pray tonight that the master physician will make his way around through here tonight and give every one of us the help that we need. And certainly tonight we need to see the need of having some help. Amen. Now listen to me. I want you to go back with me as we read these 5 verses of Scripture. And I want you to see what's going on here. First of all, I want you to see in verse number 2. Well, verse number 1, the Bible says there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now the Bible tells us in verse number 2, now that down there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, by the pool down there, a place called the Pool of Bethesda. Now if you do any studying much in your Bible, you'll need to know that Bethesda means a house of mercy or a house of compassion. But you see, when Jesus walked up on the scene, all he saw was a house of misery. Amen. But Bethesda was called it meant a house of mercy and a house of compassion. Now, as you read on the rest of the Scripture, that almost puts you in shouting ground to know when you read the other 7 verses of Scripture what happened. Mercy came by and showed a little bit of compassion at the house of Bethesda. And I can't help but think tonight that he wants to do the very same thing for us here at Pleasant Grove. Amen. When I read this passage of Scripture right here, and then we get into verse number 3. And the Bible says, well, I want to go back up yonder to verse number 2 for a minute. Let me show you something right there that blessed my heart. Ain't never seen this much until just today. In Bethesda, there was 5 porches. 5's the number of grace. Amen. Can I get way ahead of myself right quick? Jump back over yonder to verse number 6. Bethesda had 5 porches. The last part of verse number 6, Jesus asked this man with infirmity a question. And the last part of that verse says, will thou be made whole? 5 more words. I see grace all over the place. Amen. I just see God's grace is dripping all over that passage of Scripture right there. But I got to get out of here. And in that passage of Scripture there, we see in verse number 3 something very crucial and very helpful for us tonight. I want to stop right here in verse 3 and tell you that down there by the Pool of Bethesda, there's a few classifications of people that the Bible mentions that I can't help but think that if we're to be honest, there's that same class of people sitting here tonight. Amen. You say, preacher, what is that class of people? Well, the first class of people in verse number 3, the Bible says they was them impotent folk. And that word impotent simply means hopeless, powerless, or disabled. Spiritually speaking, I'm not talking about physically speaking. I'm talking about spiritually speaking tonight. Amen. We got some impotent folks sitting in here. Listen to me. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what God told me. Amen. God settled it in my heart this afternoon exactly what the message was for the night. So y'all better stay with me. Amen. If you don't help me tonight, it's going to be a rough rest of the week. Amen. But I say this tonight, in this church tonight, we've got some folks, if you'd be honest, you've come to a place in your life where you just seem like that your spiritual life is just hopeless. Your spiritual life, and I've got God settling in my heart, boys. The more I'm up here, the more God's settling down the avenues of my soul, preacher. There's some folks in here tonight, you seem powerless. Amen. All of hell's been unleashed against you. Every evil spirit's been unleashed against you. And you feel like you just ain't got no energy about you. But I say this. God's allowed us to sit by one of the porches down by Bethesda. And he's going to come by here tonight and give somebody that feels a little bit hopeless, feels powerless, and feels disabled, going to get your legs back under you, going to get your shout back, going to get your joy back. Amen. There's people, I'm telling you right now, I know, no doubt in my mind. You, some people in this church right here today, this very day, has battled hell by the acre. And it was all you could do to even muster up enough strength and energy to get everybody ready to, and the family to get you down here to get where you're at right now. I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand. Don't even nod at me. You can look cross-eyed at me if you want to. But here, let me ask y'all a question. If I was to say this tonight, how many of you, at a certain time in your life throughout the day today, you said these words, what's the use? I just ain't going to go tonight. Through your day today, how many of us would be honest to say, you know what? There's a cross thought crossed my mind, and I just about didn't come to church tonight. Oh, I'm talking to somebody here this evening. Because you felt powerless. You felt hopeless. You thought there's just no use. If I go, I'm going to be a hindrance. Amen. But you made it. But you made it. Amen. And while we got you here, we're going to try to get you some help. Amen. You're powerless. You're hopeless. You feel disabled in your Christian life. Amen. And I see us all sitting by the pools of Bethesda here. Let me get out of here. The Bible said that there's some impotent folk there. And then the next classification of people was them blind folk. Them blind folks, spiritually blind, can't see nothing. Ain't got no vision. Bible still tells us over in Proverbs, where there is no vision, people are going to perish. You done got some messed up in your life throughout the day. The devil's done throwed you so much junk your way today. You've done got the place in your life where you can't see 30 seconds down the road. You can't even see yourself being happy no more. I'm helping somebody right here. I'm helping some folk right here. You done got the place in your life just exactly like this old dude was with the infirmity right here. He done got the place over there. Well, Lord, help me slow down for a minute. But over there earlier, later on in this passage of Scripture, he done sat down there all them years and all them days, and he couldn't get in, and all those things had done him blinded his will to getting better. So all he went down there and done got, instead of getting better, he got bitter. Now, let me say that one more time, amen. That felt all right. Amen. If somebody don't get some help tonight, you're going to go from getting better to getting bitter, and you're going to get worse off than what you are right now. Amen. Is everybody all right? Everybody with me? Amen. But there were some blind folk. You need to see yourself getting better. You need to see yourself getting your song back. You need to visualize slapping the devil in the head one time, taking a step towards glory. You need to visualize opening your arms to the Lord and wrapping your arms around Him. You need to see yourself out of the place where you're at right now. But there's some blind folk down there. Oh, Lord, they're just sitting there blind, and it's just dark and gloomy. Some of us tonight would be honest, things awful dark down there where you live because you let the cares of the world just come crashing down on you. You've got blinded by circumstances. I'm getting out of here. I got to go. The Bible says that not only was there blind folk there was halt folk there. Everybody all right? That halt word just means lame. And I also want to tie in with that halt meaning lame. That halt also is a common word for stop. When I was in the Navy and we'd have been out there and we'd march around them 5,000 acres of asphalt out there in San Diego, California, and we'd get out there and they'd practice drilling and they'd teach us how to march and all this. And I took ROTC during high school and I knew all about that stuff. There's some of them boys from out there in Idaho that had two left feet. They couldn't walk straight to begin with, and it always gommed everybody else up. But the fact is, we'd get out there and they'd be trying to march and trying to teach us, trying to make us stay and stay up a left foot and a right foot. They'd be calling cadence and make us do a left turn, a right turn to the rear and all them other things. And when a company commander said, company, halt, we knew we was in trouble. Because somebody wasn't doing something right. And when that company commander said, halt, you may as well start looking around because you're about to hit the asphalt and start doing push-ups. That's what happened. But here's what my problem is I see that the enemy has come by in our churches today. You notice I said churches? Amen. Amen. The enemy has come by and got down in our ear and wooed us, loved on us, and said, halt right there.
Yeah.
You ain't got to put up with that. You just stop right here. Let me tell you what you need to do. That's what the enemy wants you to do. The enemy wants you to stop serving the Lord. He wants you to stop going to Sunday school. He wants you to stop going to revival. I got to make sure I say this real right here. I'm just going to say this, preacher, and run along right here. Can I say this with liberty right here? Hey, all you men of Pleasant Grove, there's two empty chairs in the prayer room. There's two empty chairs in the prayer room. Be nice to roll in there tomorrow night and not have no chairs, have people standing around the wall. Y'all right there, men? Amen? Let me get down here amongst you and tell you this. If you was wanting to go down there at the high school football game or the basketball game, you'd get there early to get a good seat, wouldn't you? Everybody all right? Am I all right there, preacher? Amen. So why not put it in another gear? Amen. Rush along real quick to get in the prayer room tomorrow night, and let's get a hold of heaven together. Amen. Now, right now, the devil said, don't listen to that preacher. It's hard enough to get here at 7 o'clock, much less 15 till. That's the devil telling you to halt. Just stop. You ain't got to go no further. You're just fine where you're at. You don't need to grow no more in your Christian life. Just stop where you're at. I believe there's some folks in this church tonight, you feel like you've reached and you've mastered the life of being a Christian. You've mastered, you've come to the place where you can't grow no more. There's nothing else you can learn. There's nothing else you can do to make yourself a better Christian, and the devil has stopped you. Can I say something to us tonight? You'll never get to the place where you'll stop learning of the goodness of the Lord. Every day that you live, you'll never stop getting, we shouldn't, never get to a place in our life where we stop desiring to get closer to the Lord. And I've said this at our church for the past, I don't know how many times, the past, I don't know how many days. But I'll say this, if you're not as close to the Lord right now as you once remember your life being close to the Lord, does that make sense? It ain't the Lord that's changed. It ain't the Lord that's moved. Amen. And I want to say that one more time. If you can look back in your Christian life and remember a time that you was closer to the Lord as you are right now, you're backslid. Amen. I mean, that's just pretty straightforward right there. You stop. God ain't stopped. He's kept going. He's running this universe, moving the planets around and shooting stars all over the place and keeping the water from flooding the earth. And he's done all that he's supposed to do. But we get comfortable. I don't want to do no more. Because the more I get closer to the Lord, that's the more the church will think of me. And they'll obligate me to do things. I just want to float on out of life and just not do nothing. We need to get to the place in our life where we're not halt no more. And we're not lame on our feet. Now, oh, Lord, help me right here. You know what them folks... You know that word halt right there carries the same implication as lame. And I think about that. When I think about somebody that's lame, immediately comes to my mind is old Mephibosheth over in the Old Testament. He was lame on his feet. The Bible tells us that, Brother Reggie. He's lame on his feet. But you know what old David done? He brought him up there and set him out there at the table with the rest of that crowd. And you know, y'all listen to me right quick. And you know when they brought old Mephibosheth in there and set him down at the table, when he sat there, and all you seen was the upper part of his body, he looked like everybody else. Looked just like the rest of that crowd. And you know what? When I look out across this congregation of people and I see you sitting out the way you're sitting right now, you look like everybody else. But when you get up and try to start walking somewhere, that's when it really tells on you whether you're walking right or not. If you can't walk straight, and I'm not talking about a sobriety test, I'm talking about walking in line with the Lord, amen? If you can't walk right with God, chances are you're halt and you're lame on your feet. Amen right there. I'm going to run on. I've got to get out of here. There's one other crowd right there. And the Bible says that there was that withered crowd. And that halt crowd and the blind crowd and the impotent folk crowd and the withered crowd are all sitting there together. And I'm just going to elaborate on that withered crowd just real quick. And I'm going to run along. You listen to me? Y'all, I'm crazy. I ain't got real good sense. But I'm just going to tell you what kind of my mind I thought about them withered crowd. Anybody know what a raisin is? You know what a raisin is? a withered up grape. Amen? Yeah, you take a grape, you bite into that thing and just pop it in your mouth and chaw down on that thing. Boy, your mouth gets plumb full of goodness and juices and glory. Man, it's like angels are singing when you bite down on a grape. But you pop in a handful of raisins in your mouth, them old withered up, dried up, no good for nothing raisins. You put them in your mouth, and it's like an eternity getting them things chewed up to get them swallowed. Amen? What I'm trying to say is this, is that withered up raisin has lost its savor. It's lost its juices. It's lost its glory. It's lost its elaborance. Amen? And I say unto us tonight, there's probably, if we'd be honest, some of us, you ain't dried up, plumb dried up yet, but you've lost that goodness. The juices of the Lord ain't flowing through your body like it once did. And I say tonight, on Monday night of revival, we ought to step down there to the pool of Bethesda and say, Lord, I'm tired of being dried up. Lord, I'm tired of sitting on the sidelines. Lord, I want to be filled with the sweet Spirit of God one more time so I can be beneficial unto you. Amen. So I can't help but think that there's some of us right on the verge of drying up on God. I'm talking to somebody. I ain't no prophet. I ain't nothing very special. But I can say this, the time I've been up here, I could just about come back there and lay my hand on about three of you's head right now and say you're miserable as can be in your Christian life because your face is telling on you.
Yeah. Yeah, come on. Go ahead.
The devil's wrestled you and you fought flesh, you fought hell, and you fought the whole crowd. You're right on the verge of drying up on God. You're right on the verge of losing your vision of ever seeing a brighter day coming. But can I say this tonight? Let me remind somebody this right here. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is a coming in the morning. It may not look good right now, baby, but there's a better day coming for the child of God that'll stay true and move on for His goodness. Amen. The Bible tells us how there was that blind crowd and the impotent crowd and the halt crowd and the withered crowd, dried up crowd, sitting there waiting on the moving of the water. And I see that same crowd of people sitting right here.
Yeah.
If we'd be honest, we've every one got our infirmities. Let's be honest, we've every one probably got some kind of an infirmity sitting right here by the pool of Bethesda. Let me get out of here in verse 4. Stay with me. For the Bible says the angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And I like what I see right here in the last part of this verse. The Bible says that whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all caught that or not, but the Bible says that whosoever got in the water first was healed of whatsoever disease they had. I sure am glad tonight to know that I've got a God that looks at us, and it don't matter what else we've been through, it don't matter what our infirmities is, He says the one that gets in is going to be healed of whatever disease it is. Amen. I'm glad I was a whosoever one day. Amen. Aren't you? The Bible also says, I'm reminded that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes, sir.
I sure am glad to know tonight I'm a whosoever.
Yes,
amen. And you're a whosoever.
Yes.
And I want to tell somebody this. I'm trying my best to hurry, preacher. But there's somebody in this church tonight that needs to get took care of a whatsoever. Your whatsoever, that whatsoever that you drug in here tonight with you, I'm begging you from a burdened heart to this church and all of you that's here, don't go home with your whatsoever that you brought here tonight.
Yeah.
And I want to say this to you this evening. If you leave with the same heartaches and the same troubles and the same woes and the same bitterness and the same jealousy, the same whatevers that you brought in here, if you leave with them tonight, it'll be your own choice.
Yeah. Right.
It'll be you and the devil sitting there choosing, no, I think I'll just go home miserable.
Yeah.
I came miserable, I'm going to go home miserable. Now, if you do that, that'll be your choice.
Lord help.
That'd be just like going to the doctor. Y'all with me right here?
Yeah.
That'd be like going to the doctor. I've said this a time, but I don't want to say it a time one more time. That'd be like going to the doctor when you know you feel like you've been run over by a Mack truck. And you go to the doctor and you call, make an appointment. Y'all come on down here at such and such time. You get down there to the doctor's office. And you get down there in the doctor's office. And you sit down there in the waiting room. You're sitting there flipping through a magazine or flipping on your phone, whatever you're doing. And old little nursey girl comes out of the back there. She's got your chart. She calls your name. And you look at her and she say, you know what? Being in the waiting room is just fine. I don't need to see the doctor. I believe I'll be fine just sitting right here where I'm at. Now, how much sense does that make? Knowing that if you follow the Holy Spirit, if you follow that little nurse right there, she's acting as the Holy Spirit, coming, taking you to the great physician that's going to help you of whatever your troubles is. Man, you've lost your mind to sit there in that waiting room and go home the same way you've come. Can I say this tonight? Why don't some of us give the devil a big old black eye tonight and say, I've wrestled you all day today. I fought you all weekend. I fought you all month. I'm not going home the same way I came to church tonight.
Amen.
I'm getting out of here. Be that whosoever and get rid of that whatsoever. Amen? Come on with me. Verse 5. There's a certain man, and he was there, and he had an infirmity 38 years. And I ain't got much to say about that verse scripture right there except for this right here. He's 38 years old. He's had that infirmity longer than Jesus has been in the ministry. Oh, check that one more time. He's had that infirmity longer than Jesus had even been on earth. So he's wrestled that infirmity for years. There he lays down there by the pool of Bethesda. Y'all stay with me. Look at verse 6. Very interesting stuff right here. The Bible says, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, will thou be made whole? Interesting thought right here. Look at verse 6. The Bible says that Jesus saw him. He knew that he'd been in that case for a long time. Then he spoke to him. Jesus saw him. Jesus knew what he was going through. And then Jesus spoke to him. Now, how did he know all that, preacher? Because he knows everything. They ain't nothing he don't know. Preached on that a little bit on yesterday. Our God knows everything. Amen? Preached that on yesterday, preacher. When God asks questions, why does God ask questions? He knows everything. I ain't going to preach that again. But the Bible says that Jesus saw him. He knew his infirmity. He knew the case that he was in. And can I say this to everybody from right here all the way across this church right here? The Lord sees you sitting where you're sitting. He knows your infirmities. He knows your sicknesses. He knows your woes. He knows your downs. He knows your ups. He knows everything about you. So stop trying to hide from God. Stop trying to hide from the Lord. He knows you. You may have took your Bible and put it up under your arm and walked up in here tonight thinking, ain't nobody going to notice. Ain't nobody going to notice how miserable I am. I'll just smile and I'll wave at everybody. I'll sing in the choir and I'll go to the prayer room and I'll sit back there and I'll amen. But I'm just as miserable as could be. You're miserable. Some of you's miserable. Some of you ain't totally lost your vision yet and you can see a better day coming. Boy, your better day's about to start tonight, if you'll be honest. I got to get out of here. Jesus saw him. He knew him. Knew what was going on. Then he started talking to him. And then he asked him, will thou be made whole?
Yeah.
Will thou be made whole? And if you had to have that in terms that you could understand it, I don't know why we would, because that's pretty simple. Jesus is asking, do you want to be made whole? You know what, I like to thank Miss Drusilla that the Lord Jesus said to this man right here. I believe he went to him, and when he said, will thou be made whole, it was implying, are you tired of living your life the way you are right now?
Yeah. Amen.
Are you tired of being miserable, sir? Ain't you tired of coming down here a loser and going home a loser?
Yeah.
Ain't you tired of fighting the flesh and fighting your emotions? Will thou be made whole? Can I ask some of us tonight, wouldn't you like to go home a different way than you came to church tonight? Wouldn't you like to go home with a little bit of kick in your step? Some of us coming dragging in here and you shook hands and you've had a rough day and you had a rough weekend and it's Monday night. I know how Mondays are. You've come and dragging everything in the world that could go wrong has went wrong. And that's all you've thought about all day. But wouldn't you like to go home tonight instead of humped down over with your head down low and walking into church? Wouldn't you like to leave out tonight singing I'm on the winning side? Once I've drifted out in sin, had no hope, and then, hallelujah, I want you to know tonight, man, we're serving a God that's coming by every one of us, asking us a question, will thou be made whole? Don't you want a better life than what you got right now? Hey, lost person, I don't know who you are right now. I dare say that there'll probably be somebody here tonight. Maybe, I don't know, but you've never been saved before. And I believe that's what the Lord Jesus is implying to this man right here. Wouldn't you like to have a better life? Wouldn't you like to go home tonight and lay your head down on your pillow and not have to worry about waking up in hell if you're to die in your sleep?
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? Wouldn't you like to go home tonight without any doubts whatsoever and get that thing settled? Boy, I could get about two or three people right here in this church to testify, stand up and testify of all the years they've lived in church and all the years they've done the church life, but just not too recently, not too far back yonder behind us, gotten an old-fashioned altar and got marvelously birthed into the family of God. I'm not here to make you doubt your salvation, but amen, don't you know something? The salvation that Christ promised us in that precious Word of God is a no-so salvation, and you don't have to go home tonight wondering, is my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Can I ask somebody something? Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Aren't you glad your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You can lay your head down tonight and know that you'll never spend 1 minute in a place called hell. But not everybody might be able to say that tonight. Not everybody in this church can say that tonight. Well, I don't know really if I am or not saved. Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't let another minute in this service go by. Preacher done said this altar's open. I'd make sure, man. I'd make that thing real sure. But Jesus said, "Will thou be made whole?" I'm asking you all this tonight. I'm asking every one of us tonight. Wouldn't you like to have a better life than what you're living right now? Wouldn't you like to go home tonight free of everything you brought in here? That's what Jesus is asking this feller. Look at verse 8. No, excuse me, 7. The Bible says, "The impotent man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me.'" You know what old boy started doing in verse number 7? Started making excuses. Started making every excuse in the world. I can't get down there. Lord, Brother Brady, God began to put this in my heart today. And I'll tell you, Brett, what God told me right there in that verse of Scripture. And I don't know how many times I've read it. And I read through there every, I don't know, I completed it through there, reading it, and said, "God, show me something fresh. God, show me something new." Right there in verse number 7, the Bible tells us that for 38 years he had an infirmity. The Bible didn't say that for 38 years he was down there by the pool, but 38 years he had an infirmity. But the Bible, and I've always said, and I may have even said it preaching, if you ever heard me say it preaching, I apologize, because the Bible does not tell us right there anywhere that somebody carried him down there. The Bible don't tell us that somebody helped him get down there like that blind man. They helped that blind man down there, and they helped him set him out. But no, the Bible don't tell us that about this man. So here's what God began to do with my heart. He had practiced, and he had enough experience, and he worked up enough muscle about him, and we don't even know what his infirmity was. But he had enough strength to get himself down there where the help was. But when it came time to get the help, he just couldn't get it done. Whatever his infirmity was, he got himself down there and sat there, got his place down there by the pool. But by his own testimony, every time the angel troubled the water, somebody would step over top of him. He was just inches. Can you imagine in your mind just inches of getting in the water when somebody would come over and step across top of him? Every time the water was troubled, he got disappointed. Then the Bible tells us in verse number 7 that I ain't got nobody to help me in this pool. It implies to me, and I may be a plumb out there in the left field, but it implies to me that maybe all them other people, they had a friend there with them to help them get in the water. He said, "I ain't got nobody." Which leads me to believe this right here. Because if you read on down there in verse number 14, when Jesus finds this same old cat down there in the temple, he goes over there to him and says, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." So it tells me, according to my Bible, what I read right there, that his infirmity was because of some kind of sin. Because he said, "Sin no more." So for 38 years, you listening to me? For 38 years,
He's been paying for something that he done maybe 38 years ago. Stay with me. Stay with me. So I got to thinking about this old dude. I got to thinking about us. And God knew he was going to be here tonight. This old boy didn't have nobody help him in the pool because maybe he'd gotten bitter. Maybe he'd gotten calloused. Maybe he'd gotten cold. Maybe he'd got just plumb ornery. Y'all know what ornery means? He got ornery because every day went down there, couldn't get in the water. I'm going to try it one more time. He'd weasel his way back down there and he'd sit down and he'd go home bitter. He'd go home bitter every day because I couldn't get the help. It's going to be all right here. Lord, help me. But he starts making excuses. He says, I can't. I can't. I can't do this. I can't get up and get water. I'm not fast enough. He was at the place to get help. But he couldn't get the help. How many times have y'all ever come to church with a burden? You've come to church with something you need to get some help from, and you walked right out them doors and went home and didn't get the help, even though you was at the place where you could get the help. You say, well, preacher, I ain't got nobody to help me get in. I'll be your friend. I'll be your friend. I'm trying to help you get in, man. Sir, ma'am, I'm trying to help you get in when the water gets troubled. No, let me back up and say this one more time. Amen. Let me get out of here. Let me read verse number 8. After old boy gets done making his plea to the Lord and making his excuses and whining and complaining about everything, if we'd learn not to whine and complain so much, we might be able to get a little bit more done. Let me just throw that out there. If a child of God, let's quit complaining and whining about what's going on here in society and realize that God's still on his throne. Amen. I had to tell my crowd that yesterday morning. It don't matter how low in the valley you are. It don't matter how bad you've been beat up by the devil. It don't matter nothing about what you went through. God's still God. He's still on his throne. He still can do all things we'll let him do. Amen. But after he got done complaining, after he got done making his excuses, Jesus then said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. He's talking to a feller right here that we don't know what his infirmity was. But he's telling him, you need to get up. And you need to take up your bed and you need to walk. There's three things that he told him to do. Now let me tell y'all something right quick. According to my Bible right here, there could not be no miracle take place in this man's life if he missed any one of them things that Jesus told him to do.
Right.
What would be the use of him wrapping his bed up? Because he couldn't walk until he got up. You listening to me? It would be humanly impossible for him to walk laying down. So where was this man's healing at? Where was this man's miracle? Where was this man's deliverance at? First word, get up. Jesus said, you've got to rise. You said, that just come to me. Jesus said, get up, pick up, and step up. That just come right there. That just hit me right there. He said, I want you to get up. I want you to take up your bed and get to stepping. And you know what? After Jesus says that, he's gone. He's gone out of the picture. You read down through there another verse or two. Jesus had to get out of there because there's a multitude of people out there around him who wanted to be right there where he was at. But I ain't interested in that right now. The Bible says that Jesus told that boy, I want you to rise, I want you to take up your bed, and I want you to walk. And the Bible says in verse number 9, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked just exactly like Jesus told him to do. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now we've got a great happening in verse number 1 through 8 right here, but then verse number 9 down through 13 right there, we've got that crowd wants to complain about what Jesus done. We ain't even going to get there tonight. I just want to tell you what happened right here. Bible says that immediately that man was made whole. He took up his bed and he walked. That's what I want to be interested in right here, and I'm closing right here. Can you imagine what took place on this particular day? When that man is laying there, there's five porches out there around that pool of Bethesda. Five porches. And the Bible told us over in verse 3 or 4 wasn't it, that they, in them porches lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind folk, halt folk, withered folk. So there's all sorts of sick folk laying all around that beautiful pool right there at Bethesda. And right in the middle of that crowd and that multitude of people, back up yonder in verse number 6, Jesus stepped in. And there's a crowd of people. Remember that? Multitude of people. But Jesus zeroed in on one man. That whole crowd of people there, Jesus zeroed in on one person. And when he zeroed in on that person, he went to him and began to talk to him and said, "Will thou be made whole?" Right. Made his excuses, and Jesus said, "Listen, I want you to get your bed. I want you to get up, take up your bed, and walk." And then Jesus is gone. Stay with me. Stay with me. Can you imagine the chaos that went on right there?
Yeah.
There he lays, a total stranger, just came by and told him to get up, take up his bed, and walk. He's looking around. There's a multitude of people there. The stranger that just told him that is not standing there no longer. And it's silent. This is just, I'm crazy, and y'all know it. But he's laying there, and he's probably thinking, who was that? And I wonder if I can even stand up. It's been a long time since I've stood up. I'll try it. Next thing you know, he's from in a laying position to a standing position. Well, look at here. Been a long time since I've seen this vision. And he reaches down and picks up his coat. Picks up his bed, rather. Picks up his bed. Folds his bed up. Took his bed up. Next thing he's got to do is now start walking.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Now, could you imagine the scene? Y'all picture this. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm done. Multitude of people, right? Water's calm. Water ain't been troubled in a long time. It's just as calm, like an old farm pond, just laying there. And then all of a sudden this man gets up. "Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. I'm so sorry. Excuse me. I hope you get your help. Hope you get in Nick. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Excuse me. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry." And then everybody starts looking around like, "Whoa, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. You're that man who had your infirmity and you've been laying over yonder for all these years. We've been laying here. What glory. We've been laying here. We've been watching the same water you've been watching. Now, how in the name of the Lord did you get up from over there and wind up over here and that water ain't been troubled? Oh, my. I can't help to think that old boy had every right to say, I didn't come down here to watch the trouble in the water. I come down here to get the help. And the help wasn't in the water. The help was in a man of Galilee that came by and spoke to my heart. I say, blessed be the Lamb of God for the day he came by and spoke to my soul. Amen. There wasn't no trouble in waters. I just trusted the Lord. And I say unto us tonight, don't trust in the water being troubled. Just trust the God that's able to take care of you. A lot of folks is waiting on some big old explosion, some big Holy Ghost movement before they get in and get the help they need. Why don't you stop waiting on some big miraculous something to happen and just trust God?
Amen.
Won't you stop waiting on some big explosion to take place in Wilkes County? Why don't you be the one to ignite the explosion?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says that he took up his bed and he walked. Not a wet thread on his clothes. Because the one that can do for him is here and he wants to do for you.
Amen.
He wants to do for your home. He wants to do for your family. He wants to do for this church. He wants to do for Maple Springs. He wants to do for DeHart. He wants to do for whatever other church is affiliated right here, Mount Zion. He wants to do it for all of us.
Amen.
But you know what we got to do? Go back to verse 7 and quit making excuses.
Right.
Quit trying to tell everybody all of how bad it is, and whoa, how bad it is. I can't do this, and I can't do it. Won't you just trust God?
Amen.
You with me tonight?
Amen.
In the five porches of Bethesda, there was a multitude of people sitting there. Preacher, can I mind the Lord right here? Brett, give me that pass me not, old gentle Savior. I'm getting out of here, but I want to share with you what my heart is. I brought me a little something right here. God told me as I was putting my tie on before I come to church, he told me to go in there and get this. Ain't no snakes. Amen. It's a bail. They tell me that over yonder in England, London, over there where the Queen's Palace is, they got this big old yard, they call it out there, and there's all sorts of shrubberies. And they got trails through them shrubs, and it's a maze, as we would know it. Folks go in there and get wrapped up in that maze and try to find the way in there and get on the other side and get out. Y'all with me? I read about this place. And in the story, it tells me that along the way inside of the maze of bushes over your head, there's benches along the way. There's benches along the way in the maze of trees, and laying down beside every bench in there, there's a bell. And it's told that if you get in, God help me, that if you get in there and you get disoriented and you can't find your way out, the rule is that you sit down on that bench and you take that bell. And you ring that bell a few minutes, and just a matter of time, there'll be somebody come through the bushes that knows their way through. They hear the bell and they know there's a distress call in the middle of the maze and somebody has got disoriented and they can't find a way out. Can't you see there was a man laying down there by the pool of Bethesda? I don't know how I'm going to get out of here. I don't know how I'm going to get set free. I need some help. I don't know about y'all, but there's been many times in my life. There's been many times in my life I've had to sit down. Lord, I'm in here and I don't know how to get out. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I need some help. And in just a matter of time. Come on. I done been to the other side. I know what you're waiting over yonder. Thank you for acknowledging that you couldn't do it on your own. Thank you for not trying to find your way out by yourself and trusting me. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Somebody needs to ring the bell. Somebody needs to say, I can't do it no more. I'm in a place I just don't know what to do. You know what my heart is this week? This bell's going to remain right there. And I sure would like to hear that thing every once in a while indicating, I'm going to get out of here. I'm getting me some help. Father, I love you. And I surely do thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, I don't know the hearts of people tonight, but God, my heart's hurt and my heart's burdened for some of these people. And God, they need some help. Lord, there's folks that's lame on their feet. God, there's folks that's been halted by something. Lord, there's withered folk. God, there's impotent folk. God, help us, God, to get the power that we need tonight to overcome the infirmity that brought us in here. Lord, if there be one in our midst tonight that's lost, don't know in the free pardon of sin, Lord, right now show them the need of a Savior. Heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to mind the Lord right here. If you be honest with me tonight, let's be honest. The Lord spoke to your heart tonight and you realize your infirmity is taking you down a path that you don't like to go in. You need to get some help tonight. I'd encourage you right now to get up from your seat and get in this altar.
Say, Lord, I need some help as we stand all over the church. As we stand all over the church. Come on. Who'll be next? Come on. Come on. Come on. Your home depends on it. Your family depends on it. Come on. Your church depends on it. Some of us need to ring a bell tonight. Some of us need to ring a bell. Say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get out of here, but I'm going to trust you right now, Lord. Here I come. Here I come. Jesus zeroed in on that one man. And made him whole. I like to just go a little step further while these people are praying. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Can I just be mindful of the Spirit of God right now? I'm going to mind the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Those of you that's still in your seats, I want to ask you a question. Right there where you're standing, can you say, Preacher, there's no doubt in my mind. Without any doubt in my mind, Preacher, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved and I'm ready to go to heaven. Would you lift up your hand right now and say, Preacher, without a doubt, I'm saved. Let me see your hand. Preacher, I know I'm saved. Let me see that hand. God bless you. Lord, God bless you. Friend, I don't know about you tonight, but from where I stood, your heads was bowed and you was reverent to the Holy Spirit. Not everybody in this church is able to raise their hands. Young ones, why don't you mind God tonight and step out and believe Him for your Savior? Why don't you step out and trust Him for your Savior and believe in Him? I'm not going to put any unwanted pressure on you, but I just want you to be honest. Boy, it sure wouldn't make going to sleep tonight a whole lot easier on you if you knew the Lord. There's others in this church tonight. If you'd be honest with me, sir, ma'am, if you'd be honest with me right now, you're saying, Preacher, I know I ought to be in that altar. But for whatever reason, Preacher, I'm staying right where I'm at. That don't mean I don't need your prayers. God bless you, sis. God bless you. Folks still are coming. Man, this is where it's at. This is where we're going to get our help. Hey, others, come on. Lord bless you. Preacher, I can't stand here another minute. If I don't do something right now, Satan's going to tear my marriage all to pieces. Preacher, if I don't get that altar tonight, could be the night that God hears my prayer. Preacher, my young'uns are wearing me out. Preacher, my young'uns are making choices that's killing me. Listen, I'm a home man, but I like family. And I hate to see what the devil and the crowds are doing to our families today. Mom and Dad, when's the last time you got on your face before God praying for your young'uns and praying for your family? This world has everything in the world to throw down the neck and the throat of our young'uns while we sit idly by not doing a thing about it. Father, Lord, do that. Lord, it needs to be done. God bless you. Lord, God bless you. Father, do it right now, Lord. That it needs to be done. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. As others, going home just a minute. God bless you, sir. Yeah, Lord. Wouldn't it be another right now? God bless you, son.
Continue to play. She continues to play. Are there others that need to cut? People are still praying.